The location of the Czech, Polish, Slovak tri-border can be described in a number of ways. Geographically, it's in the Beskydy mountain range. Politically, it's Silesia, the oft-forgotten third region of the Czech Republic that today is a strip of mixed Czech, Polish, German, and Jewish heritage straddling the northeast border. 20th century conflict, though, renamed southern Silesia Zaolzie, a Polish perspective place name that means beyond the Olza River. 21st century reality, though, has left the names Poland, Slovakia, or the Czech Republic with little real meaning there. This is, after all, the Slavic corner of the Czech Republic, where all three cultures, it seems, create a fourth.
W roku 1955, w trzecim miesiącu, i tu w tej gospodzie na Herczawym,
tri-border resident Jędrzej Wojkowski, speaking what the locals call the Herchava language and describing the arrival of a Soviet ethnologist to the tri-border village of Herchava in 1955. The younger residents of this village speak fairly standard Czech with a heavy Slovak accent. The older ones speak this dialect of Silesian. In context, it's not just a dialect, but a linguistic wonder. The language was crafted for use among the three kindred cultures that meet here. There are about 60,000 people who speak Silesian, only several thousand who use the southern dialect, and according to inhabitants of the tiny tri-border village of Herchava, only a few dozen who speak its special variety here. The bastion of the language is the local school, where 9 pupils are tasked with keeping it alive.
Ej, na Herchawym dobrze, ej, na Herchawym śmiało, ej, inny na Herchawym, ej, wieselości.
In a village Herchawa, we are speaking only Czech or dialect Herchawština. Yes? And the children at school speak only Czech language, but at home the children with their parents speaking dialect Herchavština. But the young parents speak only Czech with their children.
The school's teacher, Ivana Robenkova, was raised in this Silesian dialect. Now she teaches it to the children here alongside Czech and English using song. Their great-grandmothers, she says, used to sing on a small hill behind the old pub here, where their voices carried well. People who moved here from whichever direction, mostly to marry, it seems, would take up the Herchava language rather than imposing their own. But that was a different age. The children today grow up with Czech, Polish, and Slovak radio and television. They understand the standard speech of 60 million people. Can a minuscule, archaic dialect compete? Now speaking in Czech, Ms. Robenková told me that it must.
Že bych byla ráda, aby se ta řeč herčavština dochovala. Jo? To znamená, aby nevymizela.
I want to see the Herchava language maintained. I don't want it to disappear, but there are less and less people to keep it alive. Some move away. Those who moved in from the surrounding states speak their own languages or try to speak Czech. They don't have any bond to our language. As long as I stay here in this school, though, I want to make sure that the children know their own language. I want the songs sung in it to ring in their ears so that they can teach their children. We are only a small village, but we have our own culture and customs, and it would be a pity if they were not preserved.
Kterou tady máme, zvyky, tradice, aby prostě se zachovaly.
Ej, ušni, že mi ušni, ej, lebo mi urošni, ej, možeš mi přidač, ej, volky spola přignač.
The Herchava language is in part a throwback to the days of Austria-Hungary, when the only borders here were cultural, and the village marked the point where Silesian Slavs met Slovak Slavs. There were Polish-leaning Silesians and Czech-leaning Silesians, but no boundary ran between them, and their inclinations meant little until the empire broke apart and hell broke loose for a while.
After the breakup of Austria-Hungary in 1918, both Poland and Czechoslovakia laid claim to this region, Zaolzie, as we call it, and there was a horrible period when each nation invaded the region. In the middle of these disputes, Herchava fell to Poland in 1920. Its citizens, though, would have none of it. They had always sympathized more with Czechoslovakia. But the main reason for their wanting to be annexed was the fact that the closest railway stations were half an hour's walk away in Czechoslovakia, while they were 2.5 hours away in Poland.
Proč Hrčava chtěla být připojena k Československé republice?
Mr. Wojkowski's train station explanation is unique because Hrčava's oral history puts great emphasis on the historic insistence of this island of Czech patriotism on becoming a part of the motherland. An important moment in the oral history of Hrčava was the day that a group of Czech patriots went by foot over hill and dale to Ostrava to demand Czechoslovak annexation. But whatever the cause, the fact remains that for most of the 20th century, this tiny spot on the tri-border was the only Czechoslovak Silesian community with no Polish minority, and to some extent it remains that way today.
The only school in the area here is Czech, and that is an exception to the rule because in all of the villages and towns on the Czech side of Hrčava, there are minority Polish communities. They have their own schools. The signs are written in Czech and Polish, but not here. Hrčava is different. In fact, the Poles even call it Little Prague, because Hrčava has held on to its Czechness.
The history of socio-political relations in this ancient community of 250 people are impossibly complex. The beautiful wooden buildings here have been built and rebuilt for 1,000 years, regardless of whether they belong to the kingdoms of Czech, Polish, or Moravian kings. If you watch the borders shifting here in fast forward, you would see a place that rarely enjoyed any true long-term political identity. But it is exactly that that's given rise to the unique mesh of Slavic culture that, at the moment, is called Zaolzhe. In that context, you have to wonder at the complicated structure recently built to span the tri-border point itself. The point where the three countries come together was in an inaccessible ravine. What crosses it now is a rather complex wooden bridge with paved paths and steps leading from each direction. A lot of effort put into recognizing a tri-border that is open to everyone today, a fleeting point in space and time. Today the border is imaginary, but just yesterday it altered the history of the Silesian community that could not foresee it.
In 1990, they planted a friendship tree at the spot as a lasting sign of good neighborly relations, because people always used to congregate there, even before the country was divided, and they still meet there each year. For the 1st of May, they put up a maypole, and they meet in traditional dress, the Czechs, Poles, and Slovaks. They bring tubas, and they cut it down. Then they move to one of the pubs in Hrčava and continue the festivities there. We hold an outdoor mass together at the tri-border point every year. Lots of people from Slovakia married into Hrčava and vice versa, and the same goes for Javorinka over the Polish border. So we know each other, we visit each other. I would say that all three of these nations get along well together and work well together.
Dobrá spolupráce mezi těma třemi národy.
The Schengen Treaty that tore down the borders of European states was signed in a village like this one, a tri-border community at the Luxembourg-French-German border. I, for one, left the eastern Czech tri-border, the easternmost point in the Czech Republic, with a lot of mad cross-Slavic words ringing in my ears and a feeling of relief for the tremendous ramifications of that treaty in places like this, where national and cultural identities can return to their natural mingling state.